A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our hosts, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma Ayin Hey, Yuma 75A, pagination page 149, starting from the fifth line on the page at the end of a line. Our theme today is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when He punishes, there's still a kindness in the punishment, and certainly when He blesses, there's enormous blessing. So let's take a look at some of the examples that the Gemara gives. V'nachash ofar lachmo. The snake was cursed that it has dirt as its bread. Ravami v'ravasi. Ravami and Ravasi argued insights into that concept. Chad Omar afilu ochel koma adani olam toim bohem tam ofar. One said that even if the snake gets the most great delicacies of the world, he still only tastes like dirt. Vechad Omar afilu ochel koma adani olam ein daitom yusheves olav ad sheyuchal ofar. And the other opinion says that he has great variety in his diet. He could eat delicacies, but he doesn't achieve serenity until he eats dirt. That's his match. In either case, there's a tremendous curse here, and this is the curse from Parshas Bereishis, after the Nachash tempted Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Tanya, we learned. Omar Rabbi Yossi says, this is like typical of Agada. We may not understand all the details, what it means that a nachash eats dirt and all the delicacies and the taste buds. If it's meant to be taken totally literally, there's some, whatever it is. But Rabbi Yossi says, the bottom line, there's a great lesson here. Bo re'ei shalok midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. Hashem doesn't deal with people the way people deal with people. Midas basav adam maknites chaveru yoridimo lechayov. The way of people, a monarch that's angry, so if he wants to give rebuke to someone, to a fellow, he hits him hard. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino chein. Hashem doesn't do that. Kila lasanachosh, look at the curse that he gives the snake. Ola legag mizono savimo, yored lamata mizono savimo. The curse has a blessing in it. No matter where the snake goes, he's got food. And included in the curse, as serious as it is, but Hashem is still considerate. A little bit like the expression "Veracham of al kol ma'asov," that he has mercy on everything. Another example: Kilales Kanan, Hashem cursed Kanan, Parshas Noach. What's the curse? Eved avodim yiyah le'echov. He's going to be a slave. But look at the positive. Ochel masha robo ochel, v'shosa masha robo rabo shosa. If he was a regular guy trying to eke out a living, he would struggle with his own finances. But if he's a slave to someone who's a slave owner, so he gets fed the leftovers of whatever his master eats. There's a blessing in disguise, or at least a consideration. And finally, the Gemara says, Kilele so'isha, Hashem cursed the woman that she has, damleida, damnida, hako rotzen achareah, but everybody's running after her. Woman doesn't seem no worse for wear as a result. That's the way the Marsha presents it. I would wonder if we could take this a little bit further, though. The others, the snake and the slave, are examples that mineyu vei, from the very essence of the curse, results a positive. from the earth. Well, that's good. I always got my food. From the slavery, okay, I'm going to be provided for. The Isha is getting dam leida v'dam nida. Is that why HaKoratza Machareah? Or it's a little bit more like, despite the fact that she's got dam leida v'dam nida. The Gemara in one place uses the expression that she's full of dam, dam leida v'dam nida, and Hashem blessed humanity that people don't seem to care. It's more like a despite than a minei uvei. So I'd like to suggest the possibility that the woman does find a blessing in the fact that she has these weaknesses. We have the expression, the weaker gender. She gets due consideration. You're supposed to hold the door open for her. Mm-hmm. That it's not equal partners. She's supposed to be provided for. Mm-hmm. You get up on a bus and give her the seat. Mm-hmm. So it could be that mineu vei, there's some sort of blessing as a result of her punishment. And finally, kilulasu adama kol nizoinin hemena. The earth was cursed, but everybody gets their sustenance from it. Again, you could learn mineu vei. People are paying even more attention to the earth as a result of its curse. Ultimately, even if we're urban, but ultimately we rely on the earth, and someone's got to be paying attention to the earth. And boy, are they paying attention to it, because they know that's where the crop comes from. Okay. The Gemara continues on a significant discussion about the mun. There's a fascinating Gemara here that says that the mun was delivered to the home where the person was resident, where the person belonged, and therefore, if chas v'shalom, there would be a fallout between husband and wife, unfaithfulness, whether this actually happened or it was just an illustration, but the mon could be machria, could decide who was telling the truth. Take a look at the Gemara about 15 lines from the bottom, towards the end of a line. V'chein ish v'isha sheba'u lifnei Moshe ledin. A man and a woman came in front of Moshe for judgment. Ze Omer, what's that? It's tremendous. He sarcha alai. He says, she did wrong. V'hi Omer is who sarcha alai? And she says, no, he's the one who's fooling around. Moshe could tell them, Laboke Mishpat. Let's see what's doing in the morning. Lamachar, the next day, Imnimtsa Umara Beves Baila, if her portion of Mon was by her husband's house, Biyadua Shehi Sarcha Alav, so then you know that she was the one who did wrong. Because it's as if Hashem is saying, so to speak, as far as I'm concerned, you belong there. I don't know what you're doing. As far as I'm concerned, you belong there. And therefore the husband would be able to get rid of her without giving her ksuba, because she's the one who's fooling around. Nimtsu umara bevesavia. But if her portion is by her father's house, biyadua shehu sarach aleha, we know that he's the one fooling around, and she has legitimate reason to get out of there. And Hashem is endorsing it and providing for her in her father's house. Yeah.
So would the man refer to the ksuba then?
And then that would be machria on the ksuba, presumably.
Interesting, because we might see mammon with that.
Yes, very, very interesting. It deserves some discussion as to what could Eliyahu provide, what could a Navi provide, verification on information. They certainly can't paskin, because lo bashamayim hi, but can they verify information? Let's take a look on Amud Beis, another little piece that's important for Yediyas to be aware of, because it comes up in the discussion of healthcare, end care. about 10 lines from the top. Zman Su'uda is the beginning of a line. Mm-hmm. The Gemara here is describing the story where they were punished for complaining. And the Gemara says, Habasar Odenu ben Shinehem, the meat was still between their teeth. And they're already suffering, they're already dying. Uksiv ad chodesh yomim. And then it says some people took a month. Haketzad, what's going on here? Beinonim la'altar. We're talking about two different segments of sinners. People who are average, regular, so they died right away. La'altar mesu. Rishayim. But if people were wicked, mitzdarim v'hochem ad chodesh yomim, they would suffer for a full month. Now, this is a little bit opposite of what we normally find, that life, even if it's suffering, is considered a blessing. We find by Eov, the general limud seems to be that a person, even suffering, life has value and it's worth it. And over here, it sounds like, no, it's the Rishayim who got long, protracted, painful end. And the difference would seem to be that a person in death throes, to die like that, that's bad. And that's something we would look to avoid, and we would not be providing health care simply to prolong the agony. When we talk about life is a blessing, even if it's one of suffering, we're talking, Rachmana Litzlan, an amputee. We're talking about someone who has illness, who has limitations, who the secular world would say doesn't have quality of life, but we believe is still thriving emotionally, etc. But if the person is in death throes, that's a whole different story. That's the story we find, you know, a person who's being put to death in pain. That's a whole different story. And that's what's described here, that the Rishayim had long death.
Don't we see that with the Egyptians on the Yam?
Very good, very good. In Oz Yashir, it's described different levels of dying, but that's in death throes. Again, the same concept. But otherwise, long life, even if it's limited, is considered a blessing. Final thought from the bottom, the mun did not require bathroom function. It was totally absorbed into the body. Not only was it absorbed, but even what they bought from other people, from the traders, was also absorbed into the body, to the point that they started complaining because they couldn't figure out what's going to be with us. We're going to eventually explode if we don't use the bathroom. Right. They're thinking like normal human beings. And they didn't understand that the mun was so transformational that Hashem was giving this awesome blessing. And over here we see something tremendous. Not only like we saw in Amud Aleph, that in punishment Hashem gives kindness, but over here we have in blessing Hashem gives abundant kindness, and the people weren't ready. They couldn't even tune in to that tremendous blessing. Yeshe Koach, have a great evening.